This is The Record from KUOW. I'm Marcy Silman. Almost 90% of all Americans say they believe in God, but Seattle has a reputation for being a little bit different from the rest of the country. Fewer people here go to church, for instance. Susan Jacoby says too often in America, stories about our non-churchgoers, our atheists and agnostics in particular, are relegated to history's dustbin. She sees it as her mission to do some heavy historical recycling. Jacoby told my colleague David Hyde the story of one of the leading non-religious thinkers of the 19th century. His name was Robert Ingersoll.
The most famous orator of the last quarter of the 19th century. He was as famous as any big late-night television personality you can think of today, because lecturing was the major form of entertainment and information then. He was known as the Great Agnostic. He propagandized on behalf of separation of church and state, Darwin's theory of evolution. He revived the memory of Thomas Paine, which was almost forgotten by the last quarter of the 19th century. And basically, he was the leading spokesman for the free thought movement at the end of the 19th century. Unlike a lot of, say, atheist speakers today, he did not speak only to people who already agreed with him. I mean, this was partly because lectures were such a popular form of entertainment, and people would go to hear speakers whom they didn't necessarily agree with, which, of course, is not true today. And it's one of the things that made him more influential than he otherwise would have been at a time when America was certainly more traditionally religious than it is today.
Mm-hmm. And you call him the great agnostic. What did he mean by agnosticism?
He was asked that by a newspaper reporter in the 1880s. He was asked what was the difference between an agnostic and an atheist. And he said there wasn't any difference. And this is very important because people today often say that atheists can think that they can prove there is no God. No, said Ingersoll rightly. The atheist is an agnostic, and the agnostic is an atheist. The atheist doesn't say, I know there is no God. The atheist just says, I think from all the available evidence that there isn't. You can't prove a negative any more now than then. It is only the fundamentalist religious person who says, I know this. The atheist, partly because, in a sense, atheism is more grounded in science. And science itself always has to be open to having its conclusions revised. So I always say, and I'm sort of paraphrasing a kind of example that Ingersoll used to use, I don't believe in God, but if tonight a whole bunch of people I love who've died in the last 10 years were to show up at my door and ask me to make them spaghetti carbonara, well, I would have to revise my views.
So even atheists think there might be a God.
No, I don't think that there is a God, but I would never say I know there isn't a God because, you, as I said, you can't prove
I would think
a negative.
Agnostics think there might be a God, right?
Yes. Well. Ingersoll said there was no difference, and I don't think – I think the agnostic also says I don't know. Ingersoll didn't call himself the great agnostic. That's what he was dubbed by the newspapers then.
And you're speaking to an audience here in Seattle, which has often got a reputation at least for being less religious or less churched, and certainly where you're born can make a difference in what a person believes. Did it matter in Ingersoll's case?
There are a lot of people who are afraid to come out as atheists. And this isn't true in New York or Seattle. You can be anything that you want. But I received a lot of emails on my author website from Texas. And one of them really made me think how if we live in a place like Seattle or New York, we can get very short-sighted about what things are like elsewhere. This was a mother of three kids in a suburb of Dallas, and she said she was an atheist. But she said this was not something she wanted known to the outside world because her kids would be bullied in school. Well, I thought that is something that I really ought to think about. It's one reason, by the way, I think there are a lot more atheists and agnostics than show up in the polls. I think that we often underestimate the importance of place and the people around you in what you say as well as what you actually believe.
What would happen if more people came out of the atheism closet, do you think?
I think the more people who come out as atheists, the more socially acceptable it becomes. And in this respect, this is the one thing, by the way, that Ingersoll had nothing to say about. He did say it was important for people who were free thinkers, which is a beautiful word, I think, going back to the late 17th century. He did say it was important for people to be courageous enough to say so. And I think that, that is true today, too. That one of the things that happens, for instance, when I speak on college campuses, I'm often asked to speak at historically religious colleges. I don't mean colleges like Jerry Falwell's, you know, fundamentalist. I mean historical, traditional, religious, Catholic, Lutheran colleges, which have a good education and are open to teaching lots of points of view. Often a student who's devoutly religious will come up to me afterwards and basically say, you know, I thought an atheist woman wouldn't wear makeup or something like that. You know, in other words, atheists are ugly, atheists are bad-tempered, atheists are mean. And one of the values of presenting yourself as an atheist, and Ingersoll himself was extremely funny, and people would say to him, oh, I always thought all atheists were sour and had no sense of humor. Simply presenting yourself as who you are, a human being, can show people that atheists aren't perhaps what the stereotype they have of atheists is.
Susan Jacoby's book is The Great Agnostic, Robert Ingersoll and American Free Thought. And I was looking at a poll earlier. 4 in 10 Americans think the Earth was created by God 10,000 years ago. And for people who haven't been watching Cosmos, the true answer is 4.5 billion years old. But what was Robert Ingersoll's take on creationism in his day and the creationists' battle with Charles Darwin?
It was a huge issue in his day, of course, because The Descent of Man and the Origin of Species had not been published that long ago. What his take on it was, he was a complete evolutionist. And one of his stock lines in his speech on evolution was, when I read The Origin of Species, I was thrilled to think upon what a terrible effect this will have upon the nobility of the old world to show that they are descended from the Duke Orangutan and the Princess Chimpanzee. This is still a funny line today, which is interesting because nothing travels worse than humor. And it also shows how clever he was, because there was a lot more prejudice then against the idea of English nobility and European nobility than there is today.
Look, 4 in 10 people believe a lot of things that aren't technically true. So why did Robert Ingersoll care so much what other people believed?
Well, because he thought that fundamentalist religion was fundamentally holding America back. He thought it was a bad thing. Unlike some free thinkers, he was one of the few male free thinkers of his generation who was a strong believer and proselytizer for women's rights. And he thought, as did, for instance, Elizabeth Cady Stanton, one of the founding mothers of the feminist movement, that traditional religion was the main thing holding back, saying that women could only be, you know, could only be mothers and wives, and that was it. He was very interested in some of the same issues that are still so important today. Domestic violence. At the time, it was often thought, and a lot of the Christian women suffragists presented this idea, that only alcohol was responsible for domestic violence. And Ingersoll said no. While alcoholism was a bad thing, what was also responsible for domestic violence was the biblical idea that men had dominion over women. So one of the reasons he cared so much is he saw a direct connection between fundamentalist religious belief and all kinds of social evils.
Susan Jacoby's book is The Great Agnostic. It's about Robert Ingersoll. He was a great American agnostic or atheist. The two were interchangeable in his mind at the time, she says. Why is American atheism or agnosticism such an important intellectual tradition that you're trying to revive? Why is it so important for people today to know this story?
It's important for us to understand that America has a secular as well as a religious tradition. What we hear in schools is that America was founded on freedom of religion. What we don't hear is the first immigrants to America, the Puritans, yeah, they came here for freedom of their religion. The first thing they did when they set up the Massachusetts Bay Colony was set up a theocracy and drive out other people equally religious, but who had different religious beliefs than they did. It is very important for people to realize exactly what Ingersoll was trying to revive in the 19th century, that we also have a tradition of people who took their lessons from the old world, and the lessons they took was not that you set up a new Puritan theocracy just for freedom for yourself, but that you set up what was the first government which really separated church and state in the world, which allowed for freedom of belief and freedom of non-belief. And we don't even know today, and again, this is something that Ingersoll talked about, we don't even know. What was on their minds were things like an execution for blasphemy had taken place in France 10 years before the Declaration of Independence was written. That was what was on the minds of the men who wrote the Constitution, whether they were religious or non-religious, that this had not worked out very well in all of the European countries. And we should start out, you know, as Thomas Paine said, you know, lies within our power to start to make the world over again. We should start out without that baggage of having a government which endorsed one religion and gave special privileges to believers in one religion and penalized believers in another religion or those who didn't believe in a religion at all. We should be proud of that. Secularism should not be a dirty word.
Susan Jacoby, thank you so much.
No problem.
Susan Jacoby's new book is called The Great Agnostic, Robert Ingersoll and American Free Thought. She spoke with David Hyde.